You're tuned to The Beacon, KSJE 90.9 FM. I'm Nick Michael, and I'm sitting here with...
Trevor Mayville.
And Ashley Londy.
And you are listening to A Review Too Far, where we watch movies and review them for your listening pleasure. This week, we have Robert Duvall in A Night in Old Mexico, Jared Leto in The Outsider, and we're going to finish with Out in Theaters Now, Ready Player One. But let's get things started with A Night in Old Mexico. As mentioned, it stars Robert Duvall as an aging cowboy who is being kicked out of his house and travels down across the border for one last adventure with his grandson.
Eddie Weaver.
I have never, not in my whole life, seen nothing like you.
I know it.
What's your name anyway?
Red Bowie from Texas.
Red Bowie. You sound like a cow.
No, I'm a bull.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Is this Buckaroo? Yeah. Took you long enough to jump in the fray, though, didn't it, Buckaroo? Here, come on. Get up, come on. Yeah. This here's Galley. Don't worry, he don't get in the way much.
Hello, Galley.
Hello, Patty Wafers.
Now finish yakking, let's go get us a beer. What do you say? Come on. Galley Street.
Okay.
Leave the hat. Come on, let's go. Viva Mexico.
A Night in Old Mexico stars, of course, Robert Duvall, but also there are Jeremy Irvine, Angie Cepeda, Luis Tosar, Joaquin Cosio, Javier Gutierrez, Jimmy Parrick, and James Landry Herbert. And let's talk about it. Trevor, what did you think of A Night in Old Mexico?
I picked this movie for this week, and there's something about Robert Duvall wearing a cowboy hat on the movie cover that had me wanting to pick this movie on Netflix for a while now. It got pretty good reviews online, and I thought it was going to be a Western, and so I was just interested in checking it out. It was different than what I expected. It's not exactly a Western, other than the fact that it takes place in the Southwest, And it's also set in the present day, seemingly, which also surprised me too. This movie was decent. It was certainly tolerable. It was an hour and 40 minutes long, and I think that it built up throughout the movie. And in the end, I think it was walking a tight line between really accomplishing a lot as far as the plot and the subplots go, with this problem of kind of being all over the place. There was just enough laughs and intrigue to keep my attention throughout the first half. And then truly in the second half, I will say that I didn't know how it was going to end. There was a lot of times where you didn't know if somebody was going to die, or you didn't know if they were going to get the money, or you didn't know who this other person was that was going to become a player in the plot. And I think for that, it succeeded as a movie. It just... was missing something, I think, just in the outright writing and the plot itself. I enjoyed myself, but I'm bordering on not being able to recommend it, I'm afraid.
Ashley?
I think Trevor and I have similar thoughts on this film. It is much stronger in its second half, and really its last third, than it is previous to that. Robert Duvall brings a lot to the film, but there's just... these weird sort of like ranty diatribes he goes on that don't contribute much to the plot, and I think are meant to be like an old man rant, but they seem too theatrical. They seem too perfectly delivered, and they don't give me a good sense of the character. They give me a good sense of what the writer thinks about the character, and that's disappointing. Shout out to Angie Cepeda. I liked her in this film. I thought she did a good job in her character. She was funny. I think some of the vulgarity in her language felt kind of forced. It didn't feel natural coming out of her mouth, but it was good, and it was authentic. And I like the way that her character arc ends. I think that was a really good way to sort of wrap that up. This, I would have called it a Western. It's interesting to me that Trevor says he's not sure if it is. I would have called it one. I think it's similar to a Western in a lot of ways. Bad guys are after the good guys, and the good guys are trying to do this and that. And it seems to me to be a decent watch. I just don't think that it's a very good movie, and I think there are better things out there. But if you're a Robert Duvall fan, you'll probably really enjoy it.
I think the last time that I saw Robert Duvall was with Robert Downey Jr. in The Judge, and I really enjoyed that meditation on fathers and sons and aging. And there's kind of a similar theme here when it comes to A Night in Old Mexico, though it's fathers and grandsons, and we kind of skip a generation because the son, Jimmy, is no longer in the picture, as it were. And I don't know if I can recommend it overall. I mean, I'm kind of echoing sentiments there, but I will agree with Ashley that I do think it has a lot of the hallmarks of a true Western. It has those archetypal kind of plastic villains, and the heroes are very gray. I mean, both Red and his grandson Galley are scoundrels, but also have good hearts in their own way. And I do love Angie Cepeda. I think Ashley's right. She basically carries the second half of this feature. I will say I disliked the production value. It was shot on the cheap, and while the cinematography is all right, you can definitely tell that there are seams. I mean, in the Dia de los Muertos sequence alone, early on in the film where it's still day, I saw the same extras walking back and forth. It was very obvious to me, and that kind of thing drew me out of the movie. Overall, I think it's okay. I would have much preferred A Night in Old Mexico on the stage as opposed to being a movie. I think it would have been stronger as a theater piece. And I can't quite recommend it, but I think it's all right. And that'll bring us to final thoughts. So, Trevor.
I don't think it's necessarily that low of praise for the three of us to sit here and be on the fence about whether or not to recommend this movie. I enjoyed the fact that it was low budget, but yet also had so much heart. I think there was a lot in here. It was more than tolerable. It just wasn't that great of a movie overall. I'll give it 2 stars.
Ashley?
2 stars seems fair for the issues with this film and its writing and some of the production value, especially when you consider how strong the acting performances are from some of the characters. I think 2 stars is a good compromise. I'll agree.
Yeah, I think 2 stars is fair. Robert Duvall does a lot in this feature, but it's mostly carried by Angie Cepeda, and the production value really draws it down quite a bit. I just think this would have been better set on a stage. And that'll bring us to our second DVD of the week, and it is The Outsider, in which Jared Leto plays a disgraced and imprisoned former soldier in post-war Japan who falls into working for the Japanese underworld, also known as the Yakuza. The Outsider is mostly in Japanese, so we do not have a clip for it, but the cast includes, of course, Jared Leto, Tadanobu Asano, Kipe Shina, Shioli Kutsuna, Emil Hirsch, Nao Omori, Min Tanaka, Masaki Miura, Hiroya Shimizu, and Go Jibiki. And let's talk about it. Trevor, what did you think of The Outsider?
The Outsider is missable, I'm afraid. It really just waits too long to develop the strong parts of its storylines. We have conflicting crime families with rich history going at each other, and then there's this storyline about how the white lead, Jared Leto, becomes involved in all of that, and it just tries to tell a drama story about what happens. And I never really cared enough. I feel like the part in the beginning where he's still in prison, you never really know why he's there. And this problem that the movie had of failing to explain or develop its plot lines or character development early on was pretty much the theme of the movie throughout. I don't like sitting here and trying to say how this movie could have been better or why I'm not going to recommend it. In the end, it just never really had my interest and failed. To the extent that Japanese crime movies is a real drama, I think that this movie had some things going for it. But for general audiences, no, this Netflix original was not good. I won't recommend it.
Ashley?
Yeah, I think Trevor's right. This is not an interesting movie, and it had so much potential. Jared Leto is so method, and he brings so much to his roles, but there's just not a lot here, and it's frustrating, and it's difficult because it is a long 2 hours. This is not a tight 2 hour movie. It's long. It takes a while. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with subtitles. I've made my thoughts on them well known on this show that I would rather have subtitles than dubbing almost all the time. And this movie's no exception, but you really need to be paying 100% attention to the screen at all times. This is not a movie where you can, like, snack or make a craft while you're watching it. You've really got to be committed to the film at all possible moments. And it's just not very fun or interesting or really relevant. It doesn't feel like the stakes are right. It feels really strange. I don't get why he was in prison either. I don't get the motivations. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Shioli Kutsuna, though, I liked her. I thought she was an interesting character, and I liked learning more about her. I didn't like that I never really get a good explanation as to why her English is so much better than everyone else's, but that's okay. You don't really get explanations for anything in this film. I can't recommend it either.
Well, this is my pick, and I certainly enjoyed it more than my compatriots, but I do understand where they're coming from. Unfortunately, The Outsider fits into that weirdly problematic genre of the Caucasian insert into an Asian society to make it more palatable to Western audiences, because it's hard to identify with a culture that you don't study and have no grounding in. So you need that insert character to relate to. And I agree with Ashley that Leto does the method pretty darn well, but I also see where people have trouble enjoying what is basically the godfather for the Yakuza, because it is that weird kind of Shakespearean power play back and forth between two crime families and the honor that they hope to retain by crushing the other family. It's interesting, and while it doesn't take overt pains to explain it to you, there's a lot of depth to the movie about historical Japanese underworld society that you basically have to research on your own in order to get. And that is a drawback. I mean, the film should be able to explain it to you without forcing you to read several books and watch umpteen different crime dramas in Japanese language. Overall, I will still recommend it. I think it's an interesting look into Yakuza society, but I also think it's played up for suspense and a bit overdone. And that'll bring us to final thoughts. So, Trevor.
Unfortunately, the small misses really add up in this film. I was invested, and I did enjoy the subtitles, and I think I did pay attention pretty well, and it never paid off, and I didn't find the movie rewarding or very heartfelt. 1.5 stars.
Ashley?
I can't imagine a better way to say it than what Trevor just said, that the small misses add up. That's so true. I'm going to give it 1 star, and I really just think there's better things out there, and I don't want to have to conduct any research to enjoy a film.
I actually enjoyed myself quite a bit, but I understand where my compatriots are coming from. I think I'm going to have to give it a soft 3. The production value was pretty good. Jared Leto was method as heck. And I loved watching this Yakuza power play fall into place. It's very predictable, but I enjoyed myself. And that'll bring us to our cinema release of the week. And it is Ty Sheridan in Ready Player One, based on the massively popular nostalgia sci-fi novel by Ernest Cline. Steven Spielberg took it and turned it into this showy cinematic feature that we watched this week.
This is the Oasis. It's a place where the limits of reality are your own imagination. People come to the Oasis for all the things they can do, but they stay because of all the things they can be. I'm here talking to all of you now because our future's being threatened.
Go, go, go! I just came here to escape. But I found something much bigger than myself. I found my friends.
What up, Z?
I found love. And now, people have lost their lives.
No.
This is war for control of the future.
Find him.
Welcome to the rebellion. Wait,
As mentioned, Ready Player One was based on the novel by Ernest Cline, written for the screen by Zach Penn and directed by Steven Spielberg, and stars Ty Sheridan, Olivia Cooke, Ben Mendelsohn, Lena Waithe, T.J. Miller, Simon Pegg, Mark Rylance, Philip Zhao, and Wynn Morisaki. And let's talk about it. Trevor, what did you think of Ready Player One?
Well, I think I'm going to be the only one on this panel who is both not someone who read the book and also someone who's not big into the gaming world. That being said, I enjoyed this movie. I really think that for all that could potentially negatively be said about this adaptation of the book, I think that it kept my interest throughout, and it featured a lot of passionate roles where the stakes felt right just about throughout the entire movie. I was interested to see what happened. I was interested in this world that they lived in, and I found it believable and well delivered. This movie should have been edited down to 2 hours. Watching this movie and knowing how I felt at the halfway point, you start to notice all these times where, you know, we could have done without that little sequence, or this part could have been tightened up. And I do believe that movies with these huge budgets should work hard to get down under 2 hours. But I enjoyed myself throughout this movie. I think that this movie had a few worthwhile messages sprinkled throughout it that are going to up its rating for me as well. One in particular just being about the man versus the world and the power struggle in this country and in the future. And it really just led to a passionate rise from the youth in this movie. It made it enjoyable. And not knowing anything about the book, I enjoyed it.
Ashley?
I'm so glad that Trevor really enjoyed it, because he is the only one on the panel that hasn't read the book. And I actually read the book in preparation to see the film. I read it a couple months ago and wanted to have that experience going in. And I found myself extremely disappointed in some of the changes that were made. In the book, the challenges are very different. They are extremely complex. They're much more layered. The clues are much more detailed. And in this film, this adaptation of the story, they're simpler and they're much easier in general to figure out. And I think that it makes it seem like, well, gosh, anybody could solve this problem and anybody could figure this out. When in reality, in the book, what makes the character so exceptional is their ability to look at clues. And that's just not here. I do not like how long it was. Spielberg generally doesn't run that long with these kind of movies, and I think there's good reason for that. His dramas tend to be long. Saving Private Ryan is a good example. Schindler's List. But really, in this film, it could have been an hour 45 and been better, I think. And you would have had more explanation of what the Oasis is, which is missing and is a huge omission from this film, because the explanation they give you for this Oasis is just not adequate to really understand the world and how it exists, I think. It was okay, but I was disappointed from what I was hoping would happen out of the book.
Well, I too was extremely disappointed with the leap from book to movie. There were so many changes, both in terms of character and plotline, that it really is a completely alternate universe interpretation of Ready Player One. And I can kind of accept that. Yes, there need to be things that are trimmed to make the leap, because you only have so much runtime to work with, whereas a book can go on however long it wants, as long as it keeps the reader's attention. I will say there were a lot of changes that I couldn't forgive. There was a hugely minimized presence for Ogden Morrow, and Artemis was changed completely, and basically Parzival was too. A lot of the basic premise of the book was that these were children who were changing the world by finding the egg, and they're all adults in the movie version, and that is really disappointing. I also think the stakes were not high enough. In the original, people died, and while it's kind of off-screen with the loss of the stacks, it's heavily minimized even there. There are characters that showed up at the end of the movie who shouldn't have, and that is disappointing. I will say that the pop culture references are still fun. There are a lot of Easter eggs for you to find left and right. They are kind of limited to what clearances could have been gotten as opposed to what were in the book. And many of the challenges were changed for those clearance reasons, which is a little disappointing, but it is showy and still kind of fun. It's just not the amazing piece of nostalgic cinema that I wanted because I love the book so much. And that'll bring us to final thoughts. So, Trevor.
I understand Ashley and Nick's sentiments. On the one hand, it was an over-the-top money grab that ran too long and was a lousy adaptation of a great book. But that outlook didn't reign supreme for me. I thought this was a fast-paced, well-done, entertaining movie that was too long and not perfect. 3.5 stars.
Ashley?
They say don't meet your heroes. I think that we should also have a phrase that's don't see movie adaptations of books you love, because more often than not, you're going to be disappointed. And I'm concerned that my review is somewhat influenced by my love for the book and disappointment with the film. 2.5 stars.
I completely agree, Ashley. I am extremely guilty of the fact that I love this book so much that pretty much any cinematic adaptation was going to fall well under what I actually wanted. So with that in mind, and based on the fact that the graphics were good and the pop culture references were mostly there and the general flow of the plot was interesting and still intact, I'm going to give it a flat 3 out of 5 and say it's definitely not Spielberg's best, but it's okay. And that'll bring us to a close. If you have any questions, comments, and the like, please feel free to email. You can reach us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Just make sure you put a review too far on the subject line, and we will be sure to get it. Any parting thoughts as we go?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Allen Theaters for bringing these films to our area and to KSJE and San Juan College for hosting our program.
And from the studios of KSJE, I am Nick Michael. I've been sitting here with
Trevor Maple
and Ashley Londy.
And we'll see you folks next week with more reviews and hopefully some recommendations coming up, A Quiet Place.